Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 what's up? What's up? That intro is so dramatic. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you are welcome to participate with this show. No matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening, you can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. Welcome all the new listeners. Welcome everybody listening. Today joining us shortly, our good friend Christine Carlson, internationally best-selling author. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books. Christine, we're going to talk about the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff philosophy and its implementation into our lives. I'm looking forward to our conversations with a dear friend. But first, I want to say hello. I want to say what up to everyone out there, the A Better Today community, all of you who are living the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and participate. Get out there and participate. It is a beautiful thing to be the dreamer. It is a beautiful thing to envision an intent. It is beautiful, and some will argue there is nothing more beautiful. But then get out there and realize that you are more than just the dreamer. You are the one who's going to bring that dream to life. You got to birth what you see. You got to birth what you see, and you do it by taking one step at a time. If you want something more powerful in your community, if you want changes in your community, in your home, in your relationship, you got to do more than just dream about it, more than just think about it, more than just talk about it. You got to go out there and be it. It is when our intent and our actions are in alignment that we are speaking directly to God. Get out there and build. Get out there and give birth to those things that you want, those things that you see for yourself, for others, for your community. Go out there and birth it in the way you do it. The way you do it is by marrying that intent and that action. Don't forget that power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and participate. Dr. King said either we go up together or we go down together. I vote for let's go up together. Get out there and participate. And when you're doing so, don't forget that I am here in New York doing the exact same thing. I want to get to this show. Wow, who hasn't been impacted? Who hasn't been impacted by the Don't Sweat books? The Don't Sweat books to this day continue to be some of the best-selling books in the world. The philosophy has impacted and inspired so many people. A lot of people from all different areas of life have that in common. I know that the Don't Sweat books are very influential in me and in my life, and I'm honored to have Christine Carlson on the show. Christine is a best-selling author. She wrote Don't Sweat the Small Stuff in Love, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Women, An Hour to Live, An Hour to Love, the newly best-selling Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Moms. She's been a spokesperson for the American Heart Association. She's an incredible person, and I'm honored to have her on the show and to be friends with her as well. Her website, ChristineCarlson.com. Christine, the Don't Sweat stuff, the Don't Sweat stuff just keeps building. Isn't it incredible after all these years how it's really permeated not only in still best-selling books, but as a philosophy that a lot of people simply live by?
Yeah. Hey, Steve, good morning. Yeah, it's incredible. You know, just sometimes I'll just be sitting in a movie theater or something and, you know, there's just a casual mention, hey, you know, don't sweat it. Hey, don't sweat the small stuff, you know, and it's just, it truly is amazing that, you know, that term has become part of American pop culture in such a beautiful way because it is such an amazing attitude to adopt in your life, even if it's in the smallest way, that you're not letting the little things overrun and get to you as much is going to add some pretty big changes to your life.
Now, the original work, the original books written by your late husband, Dr. Richard Carlson, had an impact that was phenomenal. It's one of those things that just caught the wave, and the impact was phenomenal. And here you had Richard Carlson really having this formula of taking this timeless wisdom and placing it in our homes, placing it at your work, in your cubicle, placing it for its practical application in just about any aspect of your life. And, of course, you expanded on this success and on the reach. What surprises you most? What surprises you most about the impact it has had?
You know, I think that, and Richard would say the same thing if he were alive today, and we talked about this many times when Don't Sweat the Small Stuff was rising, you know, rising up the charts and staying on the charts. You know, we talked about how we're just really ordinary people. You know, what I think what Richard and I did was we kept a very strong pulse on ordinary life. And, you know, we were kind of just really ordinary people that had kind of an maybe extraordinary ability to observe life, observe the things that we were sweating, observe the things that we did really great in our lives, and observe the things that we needed to improve. And then, and also look around and look at society, look at what was around us, and you know, notice people, notice how they react to life too, because so much of life is really about the habit of the way you react to life, you know. And we really understood that, and that's really what the whole series is about, is changing your reaction to life to be more of a response to life, and changing your perspective about life, because we really determined early on that happiness was not a pursuit, that you were never going to be happy necessarily when you got what you want, but you would always be happy if you had the right attitude and the right perspective while you were going after what you wanted.
And I think that what you just said really hit home with me. It was either during one of our personal conversations or one of the times that you were on the show, the way that you were insightful enough to be able to really dissect the difference between reacting to something and responding to it. I would love to expand on that a little bit, because I know that idea had an impact on my own life. I read that you were saying, you know, take that second to breathe, and sometimes that second of breath really does switch you from a reaction mode to response mode. I would love for you to share more of that idea.
Yeah, well, one of the things that, you know, the whole Don't Sweat series is really about is how people blow the small stuff out of proportion in their life and, you know, hold on too tightly and get really immobilized by the little things. So anytime that you can help people, anybody, take a step back. Take a step back from what they're really focused on that's really annoying them to see the big picture. And you know, the strategy that you talked about, breathe before you speak, for example, I wrote that in Moms because I identified in my own life as a mom, you know, how much better I felt about being a mom when I would respond to my kids instead of react to them. You know, reaction is kind of that knee-jerk kind of reaction where you're just reacting out of habit. You're not thinking before you speak. You're not taking any time to reflect. If you take time to breathe, well, it not only does a couple things, it puts your brain into the right place. Like you actually, your parasympathetic nervous system is affected by your breath. So you actually get in the right location in your brain to respond. And it gives you time to, you know, really just reflect on what you want to say. You know, you don't need a lot of time. You just need a little bit of time. And oftentimes your response is going to be much healthier you're going to create a more heart-to-heart connection with the recipient of whatever it is you want to convey, and you're going to have a much healthier form of communication, you know. And I think that is so much of what this series is about, is really about relating to your world, you know, relating, responding to your world instead of reacting to what really annoys you and bothers you.
And you make that great point, because you're right. And as I began to implement that when I was conscious of reacting instead of responding, you're right when you say that when you take that moment, and even if it's a second of breath, it seems, Chris, that when you react, it comes from maybe from a place of fear. And when you take that second to just breathe, your response will come from a totally different place and will tend to not be poisoning.
Absolutely. I think it just takes you right from your mind, you know, into your heart, you know. And whenever you have a heart response to life, it's that's what it is. It's really much more compassionate. It's much more loving. It's much kinder. It's just a gentler and more graceful place to live from, actually.
And it's something that you can apply to any situation, whether any sort of event that may happen in your life, in your home, in your relationships, taking that second to breathe and to create a response instead of a reaction can make all the difference. And you see this idea throughout the Don't Sweat philosophy. You see it throughout the Don't Sweat books. Do you find that a lot of the Don't Sweat philosophy is really simplifying to the practical applications of life?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was in a group of moms not long ago, and somebody asked a really brilliant question. She was like, well, you know, you talk about choosing happiness and peace over stress, but she goes, but how do I do that? And I said, well, you know, the truth is, choosing happiness and peace in your life is not something that you choose just once. It's something that you choose over and over and over again. It's something that you choose every moment. And every moment that you remember that you're stressed out, that you have a different choice, is you're getting that much, you're inching that much closer to a much more peaceful, a much more contented life. And, you know, these books, the whole Don't Sweat series, is really, it's a life practice of choosing to be a happy person, of choosing to be a peaceful person, of choosing to live life with an enormous amount of grace in your life. And I think that's why this series has done so well and why it resonates with people, is that people want, you know, people want to be kind. I mean, they want to be a gentler person. It's just that they have to be given the tools to do that. They have to know simple ways how they can inch their way toward that, because it is a life practice. It isn't something that is a one-time choice. You have to choose it over and over again.
And so it becomes a point of conscious living, of taking back all those subconscious decisions we make and taking the reins of your own life and consciously making those choices.
Absolutely. And, you know, Richard was one of the first authors early on to write about happiness in his book, You Can Be Happy No Matter What. And, you know, when you look at people from, like, so let's say you say that most people have a huge amount of health in them. People also have other stuff in them, too. You know, we all struggle with addiction and all sorts of other stuff. But if you look at the model that people are basically healthy, and that, you know, especially people that are looking, you know, they have the intention to live a happy life, well, those people are basically healthy people. You know, and you're coming at them from the paradigm that they're healthy, they're not unhealthy. So you're not really trying to fix them as much as you're just trying to give them a new way to operate. You know, it's like giving your car a tune-up. You know, you take care of your car, you give your car a tune-up. It's like you need to give yourself a tune-up now and then. And these books are just geared toward simple ways of understanding, simple ways of relating to the world, simple ways for you to relate to your life in a way that's healthy and with that healthy model. And it goes back to that original work of Richard's from You Can Be Happy No Matter What.
And the way that the books are structured, I think that you know, the books are structured in little tidbits. It's not, you don't necessarily have to sit down and read from cover to cover, but it's little tidbits, little practical ideas and situations. And in many ways, Chris, that's the way life unfolds for you. Life isn't, it isn't this whole moment all the time. It's every single moment, every single event, every single opportunity that you have to choose between reacting and responding and embracing or criticizing, and so many choices you have. But what I love about the Don't Sweat books is that it does break it down into bits and pieces, much like life does.
Yeah, and you know, Richard wasn't the first author to do that, but he was sort of the first author to make that super popular, that short chapter. And it's great because people can just pick up, you know, you can open the book like and just pick it up to any inspirational chapter and just decide, you know, if that one resonates with you that day. And if it doesn't, then you move on to another one. And it does. They're great. They just give you really simple ideas to implement. And when you do them, when you implement them, you know, what we've found is that people feel better. You know, they feel better about their lives. They get better perspective. And they, you know, most important is that people begin to live a life that matters to them. You know, that they begin to really be able to ascertain what their value system is, you know. And I think the more that any person can sit down and really their actions match up with their values, you know, because so many people prescribe to certain values, but if they really looked at their lives, are their actions really matching their values? And that's such a huge, you know, when you ask somebody why they're frustrated about their life, I bet you anything, you could probably tie it to that one thing and say, well, you know, are your actions really matching up with your value system?
And that's huge. That is a huge thing, Chris. You're absolutely right. And folks, we're having a great conversation with Christine Carlson. Christine is the international best-selling author, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff in Love, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Women, An Hour to Live, An Hour to Love, Heartbroken Open, and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Moms. Chris has been spokesperson for the American Heart Association. The website is don'tsweat.com. That's don'tsweat.com. If you'd like to participate in this conversation, feedback at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. And if you are listening through our website, just click on Christine's name, and it'll take you right to don'tsweat.com. So, Christine, so we end up, and this idea has really permeated into the social consciousness. And you do you travel, you have workshop, you do conversations about your books. What is the biggest concern or the biggest block that people have in implementing this Don't Sweat philosophy in their lives?
Well, I think maybe the biggest criticism that I've ever heard is its greatest strength is that it's so simple. You know, I think that our tendency as human beings is to try and complicate things so much. And, you know, and the truth is that really broken down, life is pretty simple, you know. And I think that that's probably, if there was a stumbling block, which I haven't, you know, I haven't heard too many, it's just that it would be that people would say, this is oversimplistic.
It's oversimplistic. you get, what happens, and that's in my neuroscience mind gets so excited when I hear that, because I hear that all the time, and that's us being conditioned because we're so used to those, you know, the 300-page book on simplicity. Now we're so used to that guru mentality. I love hearing that, and you're right. It's almost like it seems so simple that it can't be right, when in fact it's permeated. I thought it was really cool. I want to play this clip from The View. The View is everyone knows what The View is, and our here in the United States, our president Barack Obama and his wife sat on the couch in The View, and they were talking about all kinds of political stuff and, you know, what you would do with the president. But I found it so interesting. They had a conversation about their marriage. They had been married for 20 years, and they were celebrating this milestone. And in a day where relationships are challenging, they're very challenging. So they were talking about some of their secrets to a good marriage. And I want to play it because you'll hear it when it stands out. This is a President Obama on The View.
We are back with President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. Now, President Obama. You said that this whole experience as a president, it normally, I would think that might tear a marriage apart, but you said that it has strengthened your marriage rather than diminished it. How is that?
Well, part of it is actually that we spend more time together in some ways now than we did earlier in our marriage because, you know, I live above the store.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a 30-second commute. Which means that me being home for dinner is a lot easier. I think that, you know, having gone through the kinds of struggles that you go through in this office means Michelle and I, you know, talk about the big stuff, but we don't sweat the small stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I found that to be awesome because there it is referencing it as a philosophy in life, but he hit something that I've heard you talk about with me, and I'm sure you've mentioned it on the show before, Chris, but about the big stuff and where the big stuff falls in all this.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. I guess that would be the other great point, Steve. The great misnomer is that, you know, not sweating the small stuff means that, you know, you're lackadaisical and you don't take care of the big stuff or talk about the big stuff. That's absolutely not true and false. That, you know, the big stuff of life is, you know, generally, actually, you find people kind of rise to the occasion on the big things of life for the most part. You know, as a community, we band together when there's a hurricane or there's a storm or there's a death in somebody's family or, you know, we tend to band together. We tend to rise to the occasion. But the truth is, it is the small stuff that really gets to us. It's the small stuff that takes away a lot of times from our big joy, from our big life experience. And that's, you know, that's the whole point of the books, really, is that if you can get out of focusing on the minor annoyances of life, then you can get back to really living the big stuff. You can get back to really experiencing the big joy that life has to offer, the big happiness. And, you know, I think that's what he was saying. You know, of course, as the president of the United States, he's got big stuff to deal with, you know, and he's saying in his marriage, you know, we don't sweat the small stuff because we're talking about these big issues of life. And the same thing is true that we take care of the big stuff of life. We take care of everything. But it gives us more energy to put into our problems, into solving our problems, if we're not focused on the minutia that takes away our focus from the things that we really need to be prioritizing.
So it's really a matter of, in not sweating the small stuff, it's not that you're ignoring it. It's that you're actually paying attention to it and not giving it more power than it's merited.
Yeah, you're learning to discern between the things that don't go right that really matter and the things that don't go right that really matter. You know what I mean? You're being able to discern between what's small and what's larger, you know, so that your energy is going into the right direction and not being dispersed and challenged by and exhausted. You know, I think so many people, again, it goes back to being in reactive mode and habit as opposed to being responsive and reflective. And the more that you can sit back and see the big picture of life, the more you're going to respond to life. And responsiveness is always better than reacting to life because it allows you to have a strategy for life. And, you know, it's sort of like when you're I don't know about you, but in my house, like I've always wanted to have a plan in case there was a real emergency. You know, it's like I had, you know, when my kids were growing up, I had a fire plan. You know, it's like this is what we're going to do if this is what happens. You know, if this scenario happens, this is what you do. It just gives you that sense of feeling like, okay, I don't have to worry about that anymore because I have a plan, you know, and life is no different on a moment-to-moment basis. When you have a plan for something, when you know how to respond to something, you've already thought it through. It's not something that catches you off guard. It's not something that triggers your buttons because you've already worked through it, you know. And like you said, that's what conscious living is. It's being conscious. It's not being asleep to life. It's not being asleep to your problems. It's actually waking up to such a deep level that you know exactly how to deal with life. You know exactly how to respond to life. You have a template for how to do life, you know, the best way possible, how to do life so that you can be happy, so that your family can be happy, so that at the end of your life, when it comes someday, you feel really fulfilled that you've really done this life to the best of your ability.
And what I really enjoy about it is that, as you said, it's a simple philosophy, but there's depth. There's seemingly endless depth to it. And as you described in our conversations on the show, even the ups and downs and some of the victories you've had and some of the nasty losses you've had, and how you have rediscovered the depth of this philosophy and how there is really seemingly no end to how impactful this can be. I love that it's simple with depth.
Yeah, I mean, I always say now, you know, Richard had the grace to teach people how not to sweat the small stuff, and I get to talk about how to live the big stuff because, you know, as your audience probably knows, because I've been on your show many times, that Richard passed away suddenly, very suddenly, without warning, almost 6 years ago, from a pulmonary embolism on a flight to New York. And you know, that really catapulted me into, you know, uncharted and unknown territories. But I'm kind of the living proof that this philosophy not only works in life, but it works through loss too. You know, that I really put all of everything that Richard ever taught me to the test, and in grief and, you know, in learning to let go and really being able to let go in a big way of, you know, of my life as I knew it, you know, and then recreate it, you know, because we're challenged as human beings all the time in letting go and recreating our lives and reinventing ourselves and reinventing how we do our life. You know, and so much of America and so many families around the world are having to do that with the economy the way it is. They're having to let go of their expectations of what life used to be and reinvent and recreate life as it is today. And that's the beauty of this philosophy, is it is so much about making peace with life as it is and really not fighting upstream, but taking the right actions and you know, and not, you know, really just knowing what's the biggest thing to deal with versus what's really small.
Folks, what a great conversation we're having with Christine Carlson. Christine is an international best-selling author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books. You can check out don'tsweat.com. That's don'tsweat.com. She has expanded on the phenomenal success of these Don't Sweat books, started, of course, by her late husband, Dr. Richard Carlson. Christine's book, Heartbroken Open, was so impactful, and the newest is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Moms, bestseller everywhere. Make sure you check out don'tsweat.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'll get to some of your feedback. I got some great questions on here. Again, if you're listening from our show, just click on Christine's name. It'll take you right to don'tsweat.com. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll be right back.
What is the most astounding fact you can share with us about the universe?
The most astounding fact.
The most astounding fact.
Is the knowledge that the atoms that comprise life on Earth, the atoms that make up the human body, are traceable to the crucibles that cooked light elements into heavy elements in their core under extreme temperatures and pressures. These stars, the high mass ones among them, went unstable in their later years. They collapsed and then exploded, scattering their enriched guts across the galaxy. Guts made of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and all the fundamental ingredients of life itself. These ingredients become part of gas clouds that condense, collapse, form the next generation of solar systems, stars with orbiting planets. And those planets now have the ingredients for life itself. So that when I look up at the night sky, and I know that, yes, we are part of this universe, we are in this universe, but perhaps more important then both of those facts is that the universe is in us. When I reflect on that fact, I look up Many people feel small because they're small and the universe is big, but I feel big. Because my atoms came from those stars. There's a level of connectivity. That's really what you want in life. You want to feel connected. You want to feel relevant. You want to feel like you're a participant in the goings-on of activities and events around you. That's precisely what we are, just by being alive.
Back, you're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com. You can check out our radio show website, which is empoweredlivingradio.com. We have over 1,000 hours, over 1,000 hours of radio of me just yapping, and some incredible guests, some incredible seminars, all available 100% free. We don't even ask you for your email address. The only thing I ask is that you share. If you hear something that I say or that a guest says that inspires you, chances are it's going to inspire someone around you. Share these links. Let other people know about what we're doing. Let other people know about our guests. Let them know about the Don't Sweat books. Let them know about don'tsweat.com. Let them know about what we're up to. You could also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Pinterest, and some other places. But the point is, make sure you share. We're all on the same team and in this together, so make sure we share, empower, inspire. And when you're sending an email and attaching a link of a monkey playing the piano or whatever it is that we're sending to each other throughout the day, and the silly things and the funny pictures, include in there somewhere something inspirational, something motivational. You will be surprised. You'll be surprised, first of all, at how many people would like that but don't want to ask. And you'd be surprised how many people don't even know how great that feels to receive something like that, information like that. So let's be sure that we share and inspire and empower each other as much as we can. We are having a great conversation with the brilliant Christine Carlson. Christine is an internationally best-selling author of some of the Don't Sweat books. Her website is don'tsweat.com. That's don'tsweat.com. We're going to go with feedback. First, feedback comes from Michelle. Michelle is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Michelle writes, "Steve, believe it or not, I was turned on to the Don't Sweat books after her first appearance on your show when she was talking about the Hour to Love book. I want to know what you usually ask guests and how their relationship with their universe or their God or their spiritual beliefs, how it has changed throughout the years, not only through her philosophy but through her life. Please give her a big hug for me."
Aw. Oh, man, that's so sweet. Oh, my gosh. So she's asking me, is it Michelle?
Yeah, it's Michelle. She's asking you how your relationship with your spirituality, with your universal or God belief, how that's changed throughout the years.
Well, it has changed, you know, and I believe that your relationship with God is like any other relationship that you have. You know, it definitely grows and evolves and shifts. And, you know, certainly from the more that you are consciously aware of it anyways, you know. So let me just first say that I have a strong relationship to prayer. prayer, not necessarily in a traditional sense, but every morning I wake up and I say a prayer, and it is, divine love, play me as a finely tuned instrument in your orchestra of life. And that's a prayer that I say is a very powerful prayer, because it's a prayer of complete surrender. And I feel like one of the things that when people get into a crisis, one of the questions that people get wrong sometimes is, you know, instead of asking what's next when you're in crisis, try asking how can I serve? Because I've found that the quickest way out of the foxhole for me in crisis was really just taking the horns of my life and saying, all right, I'm not sure I'm really crazy about this life I have, but I know that I'm here, and I know that I'm going to find joy in finding ways to serve. And so my whole philosophy, my whole spiritual philosophy has really moved more in a broader sense of really thinking of God in terms of divinity, thinking of God in terms of divine love, and that I believe that we're here to live life and we're here to love. And, you know, that's really kind of, that's where my whole spiritual evolution has evolved. And, of course, within that framework is all the great teachers of love, which is, you know, Jesus, Buddha, Brahman, Vishnu, all sorts of different great teachers of love, you know. And, that's where I've moved into, and it feels right to me. It feels like it's an invitation to invite grace into my life every day, and it's always pretty much felt that way. I always kind of feel delivered, even though I definitely get my share of big stuff, as you know, to deal with. I feel always delivered in grace and tremendous love.
I think that looking at it that way also opens you up to the realization that every day is brand new, and that every day does have this opportunity to be conscious of the big stuff and the small stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, and I think it goes back to, I just feel really excited when I wake up in the morning, and, you know, excited to be alive, excited that I get another day, you know, and my day just unfolds pretty magically most days. You know, I have, of course, a schedule, pretty vigorous schedule to keep many times, but I just, as long as I live very presently and I live very consciously and I'm choosing to participate on a world platform in love, that's what makes me feel the best about my life. And, you know, when I respond from love, I feel really great. You know, I feel like, wow, okay, I'm on track, you know.
We had some great feedback here. Paula. Paula's in Oregon, and she says, I'm a professor of women's studies here, and I love what Christina is saying, and I'm a big fan of your show, Steve. I'm curious, as I see her tweet and share more from other empowered women, and of course, who can forget the incredibly open, heartbroken open, how does she feel our society is embracing the empowered woman who is not only empowered in business, but empowered in sharing her feelings as a woman? Do you feel that society is open to this, or are you still feeling a resistance?
That's a very interesting question. I mean, I feel that women are making great strides. You know, just look at like Marianne Williamson and, you know, some women that are really leading women into higher realms of politics. And, you know, like Marianne's having this Sister Giant conference in LA coming up in November. And, you know, people like that, people like me, you know, who, you know, I was really handed my husband's life. I mean, I was really kind of handed the reins of, you know, stepping into that world. You know, fortunately, he brought me in, so I understood the world, but I by no means was standing, you know, I was kind of a few steps behind him by choice when he was alive, and was sort of forced into the lead, you know. And I find that women are really, they're playing a huge role as far as, you know, the spirituality movement, because I do feel like, you know, it's been a little out of balance. And yet there's ways to go. You're seeing more women in leadership roles and on boardrooms and, you know, on companies like Facebook, and you're seeing that women are starting to really gain some lead ground as an empowered woman. And I think that's just going to keep going that way, because it's going to bring back into balance that the world is not always linear. The world is oftentimes it's more of a spiral of chaos, which is more feminine, and both of them work really well together, but you can't have one out of balance over the other. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that it's all right for women to be feminine and also be powerful. And I love that, because, I for one, I really love being a woman. I don't want to be a man. It's like I really love being a woman. I love all the girly stuff. I love, and I want to be a strong woman. I want to be a woman who can stand on my own two feet and, live a very empowered life, and be that example for women that, that if you choose relationship, choose relationship because you want to be in a great relationship with a person who's great because you're great. Don't choose relationship because you feel like you need somebody to take care of you. It's like, I remember early on when Richard and I were first married, and we were this great couple. Then we got married and kind of like went through this stormy period where we're like, wait, we're not getting along. What's going on? And I remember saying to him in frustration, I don't want you to take care of me. And he looked at me and goes, great, because I don't want to take care of you. So even early on in our, 20s, I was already feeling that sense of what my calling would be, to be a very independent woman, even though I married young, And I was really blessed because I had a man that allowed me to be the feminine, hold that feminine space with such dignity without being submissive. And also, he held the masculine space and the feminine space as well. So, I was really fortunate that I had that kind of nurturing relationship. But I do see women making great strides that way.
It's in this conversation, I'm surprised by some of this feedback. I'm loving it, Christine. If you could see this from Nancy. Nancy's in San Diego. And she says, I'm not sure that you covered it yet, but I would rather go deeper into it. Having more empowered women, I heard you mention the American Heart Association. I saw Christine on the Today Show and thought, what a poised politician she would make. I'm curious for behind the scenes if there's anything that's brewing in her mind along those lines.
Wow. I would, if somebody showed me what to do in politics, I would probably do it. But because, I do feel like I'd be a very powerful spokesperson. However, my belief in politics over the years has been really shaky. I think that if I could do it my way, and which would be completely authentic, like Marianne does, I think she does it that way. If I could, you're right. I mean, I've often thought that might be a next step for me, because, I have some very passionate interests, on anti-bullying, cyber stalking, cyber crime, all those kinds of things I feel very passionate about, and kids, especially programs for kids, education for kids. So yeah, there's a possibility, and thank you for that compliment. I really, really appreciate that. That's great feedback. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's exactly that. I've heard you talk about these things, and when you're passionate about something, get out of the way. She is a train, and I agree with Nancy that you, if you do find that thing in politics, then you would be incredible at that. But just the groups that you support, just the groups that you stand up and support, they're very blessed to have you, because you do have this thing, whatever that thing is, you have it, where you present something and people are definitely listening. Folks, feedback is at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. We're speaking with Christine Carlson, best-selling author, some of the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books. The most recent is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Moms. The website is don'tsweat.com. Let's go with Jim. Jim is in Toronto, Canada, and Jim writes, Christine brings up a great point on relationships. How does a man know how to test those waters of when he should be careful when balancing out the femininity, empowerment, and the nurturing of his own wife?
Oh, great question. You know, he sounds like he's a candidate for John Gray's books, too. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, you know? I mean, honestly, you know, I think that for a man to just, and for women to realize that men and women are very different, you know, that they're structured differently, we often think differently, and, you know, there's a great principle in Richard's work and our work called separate realities. When you really notice that, you know, even though you might have a very similar life to somebody else, what you don't have that's similar is all the past experiences that you've had as an individual. You know, you have created throughout your lifetime your own filter system by which you filter every experience through that mind, through that heart, through that filter. And no two people filter their lives through the same filter system. No matter how identical their lives might look, they don't have the same filter system. And I think just knowing that in relationship is so powerful, knowing that your coworkers are acting from their own filter, you know, knowing that your partner is acting from her own filter. It's very empowering just to realize that you really have to talk to each other in a way that each other will hear, you know. It's like, and what I think that I also heard in that is that there's some boundaries in relationship, that even though you're married or you're partnered, there's still some healthy boundaries that you set with people. You know, one of the things that I knew about Richard was that he needed to have a certain amount of time alone. He had to. It was in his DNA to be alone. He had to go away for, you know, at least a few days a month just to be in silence, be away. And I would be the one to say, as hard as it would be for my life to let him go, because it meant that I was letting go of my morning ride to school for the kids, dinner time with him, you know, and all the things that we do together as a family, as hard as it was, I would say to him, "Hun, go." I'd be like, "It's time for you to go," you know. And he would look to me with just this total appreciation. I mean, I think that he loved me 100 times more every time I let him go, because it was, he knew I was taking care of him. He knew that I knew, I had identified that that was a need that he had that was separate from mine. I didn't have that need, but it was what he needed. And, you know, when you start to really identify what your partner needs and then you start to take care of those needs, anticipate them for them, man, I'm telling you, your relationship will soar, because their appreciation for you and how they treat you is so much better. And I think that is one of the greatest aspects of a truly beautiful marriage and relationship, is when people can start to anticipate each other's needs that way and understand that you're operating from two different realities.
And that's another thing that I want to point out, that in this conversation, is that, again, you go back to that don't sweat philosophy, which is paying attention.
Yeah.
And not being on automatic pilot in any relationship, whether it be a relationship with your children or with your spouse or even your relationship at work, right?
Yeah, and, you know, another thing, Steve, too, is just about paying attention to something like making your intention being kindness. You know, like, kindness really matters in life. You know, like,
yes.
Richard used to always say that if you have the choice to be kind or be right, choose being kind, because you're right every time. You know, it's like being kind is probably the most simple thing if, as a philosophy, if each of us could do, like, no matter where you are, whether you're in the grocery store, you're at the gas station, you know, you're working, you're working with kids in school, you know, when you're kind, I mean, I think for me, that was probably like the single easiest thing I adopted as a child that went throughout my whole life that has made all the difference in my life. I mean, and I, if I could tell anybody, it's so much easier to be kind than to be nasty. You know, it's just like so much easier and so much more fun.
It's not only that also, but it's nurturing, and it builds you up as opposed to poisoning your own mind and spirit.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, if you're in a bad mood, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a bad mood or a low mood and I go out, as soon as I really look in somebody's eyes and I really look in their eyes, I just immediately am lifted up. Like, I when I really connect with people and I smile, even if I don't feel like smiling, and it's not being fake, it's just like, it's just connecting to that part of myself that's in them. It just always makes me feel better.
Yeah, absolutely right. We're going to keep going because this hour is going by. We got like 5 minutes left. More feedback. Let's go with, we'll go with Sally. Sally's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Sally writes, excellent show, always a treat when Christine is on. Could you ask Christine if at what point the small stuff does become big stuff, and what do? We need to sweat it.
Well, that's a great question. You know, you always know when something small isn't something small any longer because it doesn't go away. You know, there's a question that Richard always posed to people. He said, you know, ask yourself, is this going to be a concern of mine a year from now? You can even take it shorter if you want. Ask yourself if it's going to be a concern of yours a month from now. If the answer is no to that question, it's really pretty small stuff, right? You know, so I think, like, you know, try to bring the problem into some sort of perspective. Also, I think that one of the strategies that we've always put into place in our work is, it's called the back burner. You know, like, if you can take a problem and you can look at it and then say, all right, I don't have a solution to this problem right now, but I'm going to put this problem on my back burner. And I'm going to deal with my life that's in front of me in this moment with presence. And if that's still a problem and it's on the back burner, it's going to be simmering. You know, it's still going to be there tomorrow. It's still going to be there the next day. But I don't have to worry about it because it's going to have a solution eventually. And I think if people start to think of their problems in that way, that they really do, you know, you can just really focus on something, but maybe you don't have to focus on it so strongly. Maybe you can know that it exists and just put it on the back burner for a while. I've always found that it's incredibly helpful in my own life.
And let's go with Peter. Peter's in Maine, and Peter writes, can you please tell us if there's Don't Sweat Books for children, or if the Don't Sweat Books themselves are suitable for children? Also, does she have a speaking schedule, or would that all be found on the website?
Yes. First of all, there's Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for teens. I have just recently begun to think of creating some sort of possibility for a teacher curriculum or something for children using the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff principles. So we haven't developed that yet, but that is on my back burner. Great question, my back burner. And I have a speaking calendar, and you can find that. You'll find that somewhere on the Christine Carlson website or the Don't Sweat website. And if you join my mailing list too, then I always send out like a notice, you know, saying when I'm speaking and stuff.
And you're on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff?
Yeah, Chris, I have the authorized Don't Sweat fan page. You'll see different postings of things I do on there, but the Christine Carlson fan page is on Facebook, and then Christine Carlson Twitter. There's an I'm a Don't Sweat Mom fan page. We have all sorts of, and then there's an I'm a Don't Sweat Mom.com is our mom site as well, so there's lots to look at.
There's lots to look at, lots of empowerment, and the books are fantastic. And I know that you're really just getting started with this stuff, Christine. And I hear what you talk about. I hear what you have planned, and what a blessing to all of us. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for making an hour seem like a couple of minutes, and for sharing your insight and wisdom with all of our listeners.
Oh, my gosh, Steve, just always, always a pleasure to talk to you. You are such an amazing, amazing host and friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And, folks, make sure you check out don'tsweat.com. That's don'tsweat.com. That brilliant woman you just listened to is my dear friend Christine Carlson. She's authored some incredible books. You can go out there. They're found in any bookstore. The most recent is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Moms. That's Don't Sweat the Small Stuff for Moms. But hey, any of the Don't Sweat books are incredible. Simple, practical, and although not necessarily say for kids on them, I know there's a teen one, but even though it doesn't necessarily say for kids on there, I'm telling you, put these kinds of books in front of your children. Put them in front of your children. And when I was getting into this kind of stuff, I could tell you that these words shaped a lot of the way I see life. And it's just powerful, powerful, timeless stuff. And keep your eye on this Christine Carlson. She's going to do some great things for all of us, for our community. So check out don'tsweat.com. That's don'tsweat.com. And while you're out there today, as we come to the close of the show, I want you to think about not sweating the small stuff. I want you to think about the difference between reacting and responding. I want you to think about perspective. And am I seeing this truthfully, or am I seeing this fearfully? There are so many ways that you can take control of your life. There are so many ways you can get yourself out of the hole you're in. There are so many ways you can repair and nourish and nurture your relationship. There are so many ways you can give. There are so many ways you can participate not only in your own journey. There are so many ways you can live the life you've been dreaming about. Do not delay. Don't steal that from yourself. Do not steal that from yourself. Be empowered enough to be committed to yourself. Go out there and participate. Make sure your actions reflect your goals. Make sure you recognize that you are not just the dreamer, but that you are the point of origin for everything in your life. You are the point of origin for everything. Make sure you recognize that. Recognize how badass you are. Get out there and live your greatest life today. And while you're doing that, don't forget this New Yorker loves you. Get out there and participate. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, stevemaraboli.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube, we're on Pinterest. Get out there, participate. Be unapologetically you. Don't ever stop. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.